lost in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to Friday. Are you thanking God it's Friday, TGIF? I am and I'm not, because I love doing this program. I love inviting you to participate either via email or phone call if you're listening live at Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And you can call in 603-816-1590. Our numbers are growing on Getter. That's kind of neat. So if you're listening live on Getter, you can call this Friday afternoon or morning if you're in the Pacific time zone and others, 603-816-1590. We'll take your calls. And there are some things I love to do on Friday whenever, well, the mood strikes me. And that is to remind you that Friday is Cash Friday, and it doesn't have to be Friday to elevate the use of cash, to remember that cash is the original, and we won't get into the difference between fiat currency. There are other experts who can talk about that greater than I. But the idea of having cash in your pocket, some method of exchange where you can exchange freely in commerce in the free market, and have it be anonymous so that people are dictators, and those who would like to track you are not following and tracking every interaction that you have. I don't think it's any sort of a conspiracy theory to know that we have entered into a highly digitized society in which some people who fancy themselves our betters want to track our financial interactions down to less than $600, and so that they can either tax you or punish you or, God forbid, put you on a social credit score. Let's hope to God that doesn't happen. And there are people fighting back, and that brings me to another thing that I don't always have the time to do on Fridays. Some people call it Party Friday. I call it Cash Friday. So please, just to repeat, use cash whenever possible or celebrate the use of it, because it's one of those things, use it or lose it. Anyway, somebody who is celebrating that Elon Musk actually is moving to restore the spirit of free speech with having bought Twitter, probably losing lots of money, which I guess he can afford to lose, but nobody likes to lose it. We've got Sidney Powell, who has been restored to her Twitter account after being kicked off 2 years ago. Elon Musk has exposed and is continuing to expose how Twitter was used to shut down dissent, to shut down freedom of speech, exactly the opposite of what it professed to be and do, which is to be a town square on the internet for people to express freely their opinions. And we go back to being tracked, being punished, being told what you're allowed to say, being told what you're allowed to think. I only wish that was some sort of a conspiracy theory, but you have only to look and watch the number of things that are being imposed upon us in this country and around the world in formerly free countries, and the extolling the virtues of freedom are very selective when the left does it. The left screams about their own freedom, but not anyone else's. It's not an equal opportunity freedom. That's for sure. So one of the things Sidney Powell does, and I'm going to give her some free publicity by telling you that you can follow Sidney Powell now on Twitter at Sidney Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, Sidney Powell 1. And one of the things I like about her, I don't always agree, is that she doesn't pull her punches. She says what's on her mind. She's always said what's on her mind. Plus, she helps me in my show prep, because there's a lot of things that I could talk about and I have been itching to talk about that are, let's just say, not the most encouraging, happy ideas. One I saw, I'm just going to mention and then move on, that Massachusetts, there's a bill in Massachusetts, don't think it's passed yet. I'll probably talk about it on Tuesday unless there's a wall of news that I'm going to have to talk about. This bill allows inmates to swap organs for less prison time. Ethics experts say it's exploitative. Well, that's the very least of what it is. The people supporting this say that it affords prison mates body autonomy. That's interesting. Body autonomy? So they're more interested in the body autonomy of criminals, which I don't know if selling your organs is part of that. It's a little bit sick and twisted. But hey, yeah, no. But they don't believe in body autonomy for you and me. And how come these nutcases don't believe in body autonomy for law-abiding citizens? And how does selling your organs absolve you of the crimes that you committed to be put in prison in the first place? I'll be watching this bill to see if it passes in very, very liberal Massachusetts. But Sidney Powell puts out something you can get on her email list or on her newsletter list, something called Good News Friday. I'm always fond of that because I'm often scouring the internet, scouring to look for good news these days, because there is an abundance of bad news as we watch these self-appointed dictators continually tell us that our opinion doesn't matter. There's only one way to think and believe in this world. And if you disagree with them, even though they're always wrong, almost always they're being proven to be corrupt liars, cheaters. But if you don't agree with them, you're a racist. And why? How do you know you're racist? Because they said so. So it's hard, since we are watching the predictability of these kinds of tactics every single day. Every single day, if you can be a psychic by watching the tactics employed again and again by people who are either professed communists or socialists or Marxists, or those who are hiding it, but their behavior belies what they state. You know, if you're a Marxist or a socialist or communist or a person who thinks you get to tell everyone else what to do and how to live, you don't believe in other people's freedom. You only believe in your own. Anyway, I got to stop that little giggle because sometimes it gets misinterpreted. Anyhow, so Good News Friday this week had a couple of great stories that I'd like to share with you. One is, you may have read that the new study confirms that masks don't work to stop COVID. And of course, why did it take just about 3 years to have these studies come out? We all know it doesn't stop COVID, because if it did, not only would the vaxes work and they don't, but the masks would have worked and they didn't. Have you noticed that the presidential potted plant, Joe Biden, is saying that he's finally going to lift the emergency authorization, but he's not going to do it until May. Now, do you get the feeling that once these totalitarians get hold of power, they ain't willing to give it up. We saw this in Colorado when month after month after month, the governor of Colorado kept extending his emergency use powers. It didn't matter that COVID was being treated like a bad flu. It didn't matter that people had gone back to work and they began to see the folly and the fraud of the media's fear-mongering over COVID. Yes, it's a real virus, but what they did and what they used it for was despicable and criminal. They scared people into staying in their homes, even though fresh air was better. They scared people into masking and subduing and erasing their own free will and individuality so they could prove and show their obedience. And to boot, they encouraged people to breathe their own carbon dioxide, thus giving them less oxygen. I thought the left was into fresh air, clean air. But no, we've known there is historical evidence that masks, and I'm getting off the subject, work to erase individuality, to make us all look alike, to make us fear one another, and to show submission. And that's why it has been demanded in communist China and elsewhere. Here's another great news story, which I don't have time to go into. The commentary of College Board bends the knee to Ron DeSantis and drops critical race theory and BLM from AP African American Studies and adds Black conservatives. What do you know about that? And why? Because fighting back, standing up courageously is what works. Here's another one. And I encourage you to go to Good News Friday, to Sidney Powell's website. You can look it up on the DuckDuckGo or Google if you like. Tom Cruise introduces 7 bills to block government COVID mandates. Now, we don't know if any of them will be passed because the left loves COVID mandates. They've shown that for the last almost 3 years, but I'm glad it's being run anyway. Bravo, Tom. Ted Cruz. Bravo. We have to take a break. We will be right back with more of Spouting Off. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Sounds like the party has already started with some very interesting music. Thank you, Mr. Producer Art. Appreciate it. We have our very first guest on the line to talk about, are you ready? Something conservatives been talking about for, a few years, and the left couldn't find it with both hands, and that is the corruption of the Biden family and the Hunter Biden laptop. Here to talk about it is Paul Kaminar, lead counsel for the National Legal and Policy Center in Washington, D.C., public policy and appellate attorney who counsels clients on legal, regulatory, and public policy matters. He served as a senior executive counsel at the Washington Legal Foundation, former public interest clinical professor of law at George Mason University, and a long list of credits that if I read, I won't have time to talk to him. Welcome, Paul Kaminar, to Spouting Off. It's so good to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be with you all.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So give us an inside look, because so much news is coming out, and we've seen a deeply suspicious shift in both the left and the propaganda media suddenly covering this story that they could not find for years, and now suddenly they can. Tell us what's going on and what we need to know, because lots going on, is going on.
Yeah, a lot is going on, and it's kind of hard to know where to start. The latest news is that Hunter Biden's attorney sent a letter to the Department of Justice and to the IRS and to the Attorney General of Delaware complaining that the distribution of information on Hunter Biden's laptop violates certain laws against hacking and stolen property and so forth and so on. But what it now does show us is that he now admits that it is his laptop.
That it is his laptop. Exactly right.
Right.
Right. And he never gets held accountable for having lied and saying he didn't know. He didn't know what happened to that laptop. Maybe it's not his, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And the legal complaint is really a desperate attempt to deflect the attention away from not only his legal problems, because he's under criminal investigation in Delaware by the U.S. attorney, looking at his non-payment of some $2 billion in back taxes, his filing a false gun permit application where the form asks whether you have used drugs, and he's check the box no, which we know is a lie.
Not
so
true.
That is right. I mean, he was a cocaine crack addict. He's claimed to be recovering. So So there's that violation, but I think the bigger violation here that is not being explored well is that he's got the Chinese connection here. So we're trying to follow the money, as they say, and we are trying to hone in on that. And then it gets into the classified documents, because this laptop shows that he did have access to classified documents. By the way, he words some of the email messages, for example, talking about the state of the Russian oligarch situation there to some of his colleagues, also his money he's got from the Chinese energy company and so forth. So there's a concern that not only is his dad sloppy with these classified documents, but that Hunter himself may have had access, especially since he was living at the house in Wilmington, Delaware in 2018 for a number of months at least, where, of course, we know that some classified documents were there in the garage. And there's video of Hunter Biden driving that neat Corvette around the area. So that's an issue. So what we've got to do is get to the bottom of all of this. And we've got the National Legal Policy Center has a Freedom of Information request with the FBI and the Justice Department and the National Archives to get these documents and find out what's going on. But more importantly, I think, you know, we're going to have the House committees investigating this. And in the next couple weeks, we'll be getting more information about all this.
Let me ask you a couple questions since you're up on all this. A couple of weeks ago, we read that Hunter Biden was paying $50,000 in rent to the Bidens a month, and it wasn't declared on the Biden taxes. $50,000 a month? Do I have that right?
Actually, that's not true. What happened was...
Sorry about that.
That was based on a rental application he filled out, and it was $49,000 and change that he was paying to the House of Sweden for office space for I think it was every 3 months for office space, because he had to fill out this application. And the way you read it, you would think that the money was going to the residence where he was living, but that was now found to be not correct, that the money was going to rental space for the House of Sweden, which is the Swedish embassy here in town has a big, beautiful building in Georgetown, and they do rent out private office space to businesses and consulting companies and so forth. So that's...
okay, well, we could move on.
Yeah,
there's another...
Go ahead.
No, you finished. Sorry.
I'm just going to say that's the least of any kind of issues regarding money going to his father, because what we do know is that these emails on his laptop indicate that 10% or more of the take he was getting from some of his Chinese contacts and so forth were being earmarked for the, quote, big guy, end quote. And the big guy has been identified as his dad. Also, his Joe Biden, we all know, he's admitted this, that he got paid some $900,000 for a few lectures he gave at the University of Pennsylvania back after he left the White House in 2018. And our foundation has been able to find out, we've got the documents in the database, that the University of Pennsylvania received $63 million at least from China, and of that, $22 million was anonymous. So we want to follow that money, how that got to not only Joe Biden as a professor, but then funneled to the Biden Center. The Biden Center is here in D.C., which, as you know, on November 2nd, Biden's personal attorneys found some classified documents there, and whoopsie, and so they that started this drip, drip, drip of documents being found at his home in Delaware. They had to go back on more documents. They found more documents at the Biden Center, and is really something how this is all being covered up. Attorneys and the White House are saying, "Oh, we're cooperating. This is all consensual." Well, not really. What happens here when the FBI does go in? They didn't trust the Biden attorneys. They went to the Biden people and said, "We need to search your Biden Center office. We need to search your residence because we don't trust that only a couple of documents that you found on your own is the whole thing." So what happens is they said, we can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. Or we'll get a subpoena and a search warrant and we'll just bust our way in. So, of course, they're saying, oh, we don't want to have a search warrant. So, yeah, come on in, have at it. So when they come out and say, oh, we've been fully cooperative, unlike Donald Trump, we're bending over backwards to arrange for all this. Well, yeah, they had no choice because the FBI clearly was not going to put up with these shenanigans on their part. And you had these attorneys who were not even cleared to look at classified documents. And now have their fingerprints all over these documents, so they're spoiling evidence of a crime scene. I mean, it's just appalling how this whole thing is being handled with respect to the Bidens. And
let me ask you, to what do you attribute this sudden openness and interest of people who we know have no love for conservatives or any kind of conservative point of view? They've been politicized to a shocking degree. To what do you owe the great openness and interest now in a story that we've known about for a couple of years, more?
Well, in terms of the openness of the story, I mean, if you're talking about the laptop, yeah, we've known about that for a couple of years. The documents, we've only known that since a few weeks ago, because as you know, the first documents were discovered on November 2nd before the midterm election, and they kept that quiet because they didn't want that to spoil that. So they sat on that until it got leaked out to CBS. But I think now that they have no choice but to realize that we were right all along, that this was his laptop, and that here is the damning evidence that's on the laptop. Now, with respect to the classified documents coming out, it's still a mystery why Joe Biden suddenly woke up one morning on November 2nd or the few days before and said, you know, I've been out of this office, my private Biden Center office, for almost 2 years. I think it's about time I clear out that office. And instead of hiring a moving company or the staff interns at the Biden Center to move the stuff out of my office, I'm going to hire high-priced D.C. attorneys to go to that office and clear it out. Well, that doesn't make any sense. So that needs to be explored, why he decided one day to move his old office here at the Biden Center. So this is all going to come out with the hearings by three committees that are before the House of Representatives. And thank God the Republicans took over, because we're going to have the House Oversight and Accountability Committee has already sent out notices to the University of Pennsylvania to get all this information about the Biden Center and Chinese donations, et cetera. They're going after the National Archives to give them more information about the documents, classified documents, and the timeline and the facts and circumstances surrounding that. They're asking DOJ to give them a briefing. And then there's Congressman Jim Jordan, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee, who's going to be going after the Justice Department for their weaponization of the Justice Department, going after conservatives. Yeah. And there's one other committee, the Chinese committee, that's a select committee being chaired by, I think it's Congressman Jack, I'm drawing a blank here, McGuire. Okay. Anyway, it's set up just to look at the Chinese connection and the intelligence of China getting intelligence, which talks about now the balloon that's over the United States in Montana.
Yeah, in the northern United States, a balloon and a Chinese drone.
Well, it's over the northern. It's over Montana, where our missile bases are, you know.
So I read recently it's the weather balloon. It's a Chinese weather balloon, right, that went off course. Yeah.
Right.
If you believe
that's what China said. Yeah.
Well, we have reason to keep trusting them. We do, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Paul Kaminer, we have only about a minute.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you how you, I don't have the time really to see how much you can have impact on this actual case directly, but tell everybody how they can find you, follow you at the National Legal and Policy Center.
Yeah, real quick. It's simply go to our website, nlpc.org, and you'll see our complaints and documents and actions we're taking against Hunter Biden and the classified document issue and so forth. So it's nlpc.org.
Very good. Paul Kaminer, K-A-M-E-N-A-R, Paul Kaminer. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. We're going to have one of our go-to guys when it comes to climate. Are you afraid of the weather? Well, it's been awfully, awfully cold, so now they have to call it climate change instead of global warming. We're going to talk about it with Greg Wrightstone when we come back here on Spouting Off. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. Happy Friday. Well, among the fear-mongering, along with COVID, that the radical left has been using as a battering ram to scare people into submission, it's suspiciously like another agenda, there are many, that the radical left has been pushing to cover up their desire to make us all Marxists, and that's the whole notion of climate change. There's nobody better who can cut through the disinformation and set people straight. Too bad he can't talk to every young person who's terrified that life will end in 8 years, but the 8 years just keeps growing and none of the stuff that they say is going to happen, would happen, did happen, and still they're believed. None better than Gregory Wrightstone. He's a geologist with more than 35 years of studying the Earth's processes. He earned a bachelor's degree from Waynesburg University, a master's from West Virginia University, both in the field of geology. He has presented the results of his research around the world, including India, Ireland, and even China. And he's the author of the great book, Inconvenient Facts, The Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. Greg Wrightstone, welcome once again to Spouting Off.
Oh, good to be back with you, Karen. And as usual, there's lots of nuttiness to talk about. So everything from endangered right whales probably being killed by the dozens and humpback whales dying on the eastern seaboard from offshore wind. A lot of pushback on the wind projects all across the country right now.
Yes. You know where I'd like to start, but then you can go where you want because, you know, you have a lot to say on this. Let's talk about the fear-mongering that leftist climate changers who believe that we all ought to just bow to their Marxist agenda because the climate. I'd love for you to give our audience some ammo, ideological ammo. What can the everyday person who is not a scientist say to their friends and family who really believe that global warming is a grave threat to the planet?
Well, one thing I've been using recently, and it's really just dawned on me, what we have here as a geologist, I put things in the long-term perspective. One of the biggest claims of catastrophe are are all these Pacific, Indian Ocean, and Caribbean islands that are about to go underwater, right? They're talking about these at-risk islands like the Seychelles and the Maldives. Now, we've had sea level rise of 8 inches since 1900. We're expecting another 7 inches, maybe 8 inches, by the end of this century, by 2100. And they're claiming that these islands are going to be underwater. For example, the Maldives in the Indian Ocean, they call it the most at-risk island because the highest point on the island, or these islands, is 15 feet above sea level. And so it makes sense. Sea level's rising. They'll be underwater. Except if you look back 20,000 years ago, the islands were just above sea level. And in that 20,000 years, sea level has risen 400 feet. 400 feet of sea level rise in the last 20,000 years. Yet here we are, islands just above sea level. These islands grow. It's a geologic process known as accretion. They would have been, if they were going to go, but what they're saying is, well, okay, sea level rose 400 feet over the last several thousand years, but that next 7 inches, that's going to put them underwater. That's what they want you to believe. And
you know what, Greg?
Nobody pushes back against it.
One of the problems with this whole narrative is that the average person simply, you know, is not a geologist like you. They don't know. The country and the education system has been dumbed down to a ridiculous degree anyway, in so much so that people make decisions and they even get frightened over things that they have no idea what they're talking about, and they're afraid to say, I don't know. But if they like the person on the television and the talking head that tells them we're all going to die in 8 years, you know, it sort of reminds me of the Hale-Bopp comet people, you know. People are being encouraged to engage in a cult when the motive of these folks are pretty obvious to some of us. So I'd love to just use the time we have left to help people talk in layman's terms, because it's easy to scare people about something that seems invisible, something you can't see, even though our intuition tells us we're now going through a deep freeze. And since they couldn't justify that it was global warming when it's 2 degrees below zero, they called it climate change, and still people are buying it. What can we do to disabuse people of these ridiculous notions in layman's terms, do you think?
Well, one of the biggest claims is that are that CO2 levels today are at dangerously high levels. We're at, I just looked this morning, 418 parts per million, which they say, well, that's a huge increase in CO2 since the 1800s. And it's risen about 140 parts per million in that time. But if we put it in the long context of Earth's history, the average CO2 levels throughout Earth's history were 2,600 parts per million, 6.5 times what they are today. Life flourished, life thrived, that's what we're seeing today are the many benefits of more carbon dioxide or CO2 in our atmosphere.
See, let's zero in on that, because some people don't even know what CO2 is and how it works. They were asleep during science class.
Yeah, well,
you know,
you and I and every one of your listeners breathes out about 2 pounds of it every day. And when we exhale, remember our atmosphere today is just about 420 parts per million. When you exhale, you're breathing out 40,000 parts per million. You're breathing in oxygen. You're using it into your lungs. It's brought into your bloodstream. And then you're exhaling the product of this, which is carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide, of course, is the fundamental, we call it the miracle molecule, because it's so fundamental to life on Earth here. Because if you remember back to fourth grade, you probably had Mrs. Miller's fourth grade science class, and you had a little cup with a bean seed in it, and you put it on the shelf by the window, and you grew it, and you could breathe on it, and you're breathing CO2 out. And so you learned about photosynthesis. You learned that plants need sunlight, water, carbon dioxide, and the more carbon dioxide, the better. And that's what we're seeing, or is carbon dioxide just fueling a huge increase in vegetation all over almost every ecological niche on the earth, excepting the Arctic and Antarctic poles. Of course, there's no life there anyhow, no plant life. Every ecological niche is experiencing extreme plant growth and vegetation growth, and our crops are hugely benefiting from more carbon dioxide. You might have heard stories, well, I talk to my plants and they do better. Well, there's some truth to that, because I just said you exhale 40,000 parts
just
per million.
Just breathe on your plants. Don't talk to them. Breathe on them.
Well, when you're talking to them, you're breathing on them unintentionally.
Right.
And so you're actually fueling their plant growth because of the carbon dioxide. And in an enclosed room, you can drive up the CO2. We have a CO2 meter here at the CO2 Coalition in our conference room. And if we get five or six people in there in a meeting, it'll go up to 800, 850 parts per million. It'll double pretty quickly because everybody's just doing what everybody always does.
Unless they're wearing masks, in which case they'll breathe their own carbon dioxide, and that cannot be healthy. But that's just an aside, all right?
Yeah, that's right. Not me anymore. But I mean, for the mask. And these are benefits that we're seeing. And vegetation and crop growth are breaking records in virtually every country around the world. Even the hottest countries like India are experiencing tremendous crop growth. And part of it has to do, we are in a warming trend. We've warmed about 0.8 degrees since 1900. It doesn't sound like a lot.
0.8 degrees. And they want
Celsius.
To retrofit every building in America and possibly elsewhere because of 0.8 degrees since 1900.
And force you to drive an electric vehicle and force you to get rid of natural gas-fired heat and replace it with a heat pump. I don't know if you've ever used a heat pump. They're not very effective in very cold or very hot weather.
Oh, and get rid of your gas stove. Don't forget that. Can't have a gas stove anymore. No. What is their thing with gas stoves? And I loved the mockery, didn't you, that people came out with? You know, it was great. But these people are serious. They want to control every aspect of other people's lives by either scaring them, bullying them, or intimidating them. What's with the gas stoves?
Well, look what they've already done with water. There are parts of the country that are in a water drought. In the Southwest particular, we can talk about that a different day, but most of the rest of the country doesn't have a water shortage. Sometimes they have too much of it. In the eastern United States, in the Midwest, and in the South, we have an abundance of water, but yet they've forced us to take and use low water using devices like toilets that you have to flush two or three times. Or take a shower that just dribbles out. They have water restriction devices built into the shower heads. As soon as I moved into our new home in Florida, one of the first things I did was take the shower head apart and remove that water restrictive device. Everybody here could do that too. It's a pretty simple thing. And now we have nice, powerful showers that everybody loves in the morning because we don't need to conserve water. For crying
well,
out
I
loud.
Just
we
love
plenty of
I
it.
Just love the classic government solution, which is to restrict people's use of water so they have to flush five times. How idiotic is that anyway? It's
pretty
the government
idiotic.
And your tax dollars at work. We only have about 3 minutes. Tell everybody we didn't get to Al Gore going on the unhinged rant over there. I know we've talked about it, you and I, before. most people thought that Al Gore had lost his credibility, but there he is at the World Economic Forum ranting and raving and waving his arms and telling us all how to live. Quick comment about that, and then tell everybody where they can find your book.
Yeah, well, Al Gore and John Kerry went on an unhinged rant there at Davos, and one of the things Al Gore said was, the oceans are boiling, there are rivers of rain, and just completely nutty things. I think he does their move. Well, it's hard to do their movement a disservice, but it's incredible that the things that came out of his mouth. Of course, the oceans aren't boiling. The oceans
are boiling. Can you imagine that kind of rhetoric in any other way? Who knew that when he was vice president, he was as unhinged as he is?
Well,
yes.
He's gotten incredibly wealthy. I understand he's now got a net worth somewhere above $300 million. So the climate change fight has been very good to Al Gore and to John Kerry. They're promoting, they want to promote these so-called solutions to a non-existent problem. And unfortunately, some of the GOP have bought into this notion that there is a climate crisis. There is not. We see by almost every metric, our Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and the Earth and humanity, the human conditions improving because of modest warming and increased CO2. We should celebrate that fact and embrace it. And I do. If you look on the back of my SUV, I've got a bumper sticker that says, I love or I heart CO2. And our motto here at the CO2 Coalition, our pull-up banner right outside my office, it says, I love CO2 and so should you. Is our
I love
motto.
It. You know, sometimes a little slogan, because I've been asking you this time around about how layman people can hopefully bring a different perspective to some of the people that have been indoctrinated by K-12 education, university education, and scaring the living daylights out of them. They're going to die because of the weather. You hear that music, we got to run. Tell everybody they can find you, follow you at the CO2 Coalition, maybe get one of those bumper stickers.
Yeah, CO2Coalition.org, or go buy Inconvenient Facts. Most people buy it at Amazon, or go to inconvenientfacts.xyz.
That is great. Gregory Wrightstone, thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off. Well, that does it for the whole week and this edition of Spouting Off. Thanks to everyone who makes our show possible. And tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday live at 1 p.m. Eastern or on the internet when there will be so much more to spout off about.